Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the July NJEDA board meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised, today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star, then one on your telephone keypad to be placed in a queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star, then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star, then zero. I will now turn the call over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. I now call the meeting to order. Evan, could you please read the Open Public Meeting Notice?
In honor, Higgins. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice of this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger, the Bergen Record, and the Frentonian at least 48 hours prior to the meeting. And a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's Bulletin Board of the Department of State. And pursuant to the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, this public hearing and comments are invited on any private activity bond projects presented today.
Thank you, Evan. Danielle, could you call the roll?
Chairman Clarence O'Toole?
Present.
Vice Chairman Charles Farlow?
Here.
Tim Hillman?
Here.
Josh Weinrich?
Here.
Robert Shimko?
Here.
Joel Antoine Johnson? Scott Teams. Welcome back. Fred Dumont?
Here.
Matteo Medina Ferrara?
Here.
Here. Mr. Heather Jarvis from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Acting Commissioner Ed Sikosnak from the Department of Environmental Protection.
Here.
Jewel is on team. Jewel, are you able to unmute? Here. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Danielle. I'll now present some brief chairman's remarks. First of all, good morning and welcome to the NJEDA's July board meeting. It's exciting to be here today after Sunday's culmination of a very successful World Cup, which was very exciting and great for New Jersey. And thank all the people at the EDA who are so involved and helpful in making that a success. I also want to thank the Fort Monmouth Revitalization Authority and the Fort Monmouth team for hosting us today. The transformation of the fort over the past decade is an incredible success. And with the long-term tenants like Netflix and forward-thinking development projects like Bellworks and the Riverwalk Center, Fort Monmouth will continue to drive economic growth in the region for decades to come. We're going to take a tour later today. I think many of the board members here took a tour about 2 years ago, and we're really excited to see the progress that's been made. And I commend people on this great office that we're in today. It's really it's quite impressive, and we're very glad to be here. To further bolster the state's economy, Governor Sherrill is acting on a number of fronts, working to cut red tape and burdensome regulations, invest in the industries of the future, and ease costs for everyday essentials like electricity and groceries. Critical aspect of the NJEDA's efforts to support the governor's goals has been a focus on economic security, recognizing that access to basic necessities like food can be a catalyst for growth. Due to cuts in federal funding and increased inflation driving up the cost of food for New Jerseyans, it's essential for the state to invest in innovative resources that address food insecurity, strengthen the state's agricultural sector, and support food retailers of all sizes. Today, the board will consider the sale of up to $50 million in available tax credits during 2026 to advance the NJEDA's toolkit of existing programs that expand food access, including the Food Equity and Economic Development in New Jersey, or FEED NJ grant program. Feed NJ is already supporting meaningful and innovative food access initiatives in New Jersey's most acute food desert communities. In November and December 2025, the board approved $30 million in awards to 73 organizations making an impact in communities across the state, including in Camden, New Brunswick, Newark, Patterson, Trenton, and many more communities. As the governor works to drive down costs and create equitable economic growth opportunities for all New Jerseyans, the NJNEA will support that mission by investing in proven economic security initiatives like Feed NJ, uplifting the state's families, and creating a brighter economic future for all residents. Now let me turn it over to Evan for the CEO's report.
Thank you, Chair. So again, welcome to our July board meeting and our Fort Monmouth office at Bell Labs. It's always special for me. Like many New Jerseyans, I have a connection to Bell Labs. My dad works there, both at Homebell and then at Murray Hill. We vacated our former office around here because Netflix will use that land as part of Student Production Studio Campus, so be exciting. This region is very important to the state's economy. We want to maintain a presence here, especially as Netflix investment spurs new jobs and economic activity in the area. We're very excited to be part of this next chapter in Fort Monmouth's storied legacy. Chair said a state budget for fiscal year 2027 was signed in law last month that makes significant investments in education, housing, state pension, and property tax relief. The budget accomplishes what Governor Sherrill laid out in her proposal earlier this year. It's a budget focused on affordability, lowering costs for families, and improving government accountability while addressing the state's structural deficit. And again, Board Member Treasurer Aaron Binder, thank you for your work on this, and thank you for being here with us today. After several months of negotiations and participating in three long legislative hearings for the NJEDA and dozens of for the administration, I'm happy that the budget also includes funding for several NJEDA priorities, funding for small business resources, wealth disparity initiatives, the Commission on Science and Innovation and Technology, CSIT, and the New Jersey Motion Picture and Television Commission have all been included in the budget. This funding, along with other appropriations for the EDA, will allow us to continue doing extraordinary work we do on a daily basis to support businesses, promote job growth, and revitalize communities. The world has had their eyes on New Jersey during the 8 World Cup matches, including the final that we hosted at MetLife Stadium East Rutherford on Sunday. I think it was the 108th match of the World Cup, or 104th, something like that, and the 8th of New Jersey. This proved to be an incredible opportunity for New Jersey to showcase its talent, culture, and vibrant communities. Many visitors even found our hidden gems, like our delis and restaurants that we've all loved for years and decades. I commend Governor Sherrill for her mission to ensure residents and communities across the state benefit from the excitement and economic impact that the World Cup brought to New Jersey. This was accomplished for the NJ World Cup Community Initiative, which was launched by the governor, funded in partnership by the NJEDA and Choose New Jersey. The $5 million program supported 34 organizations throughout the state and helped activate fan zones, street fairs, watch parties, and festivals. These events brought together community members and visitors, helping increase not only patriotism at stateside, but also significant economic activity. Thanks to all the staff who helped ensure the community events were a success. Say two more things on that. Our official data that the econ team here was able to get showed that up through the week prior to the final, which will be an even bigger boost, generated $40 million in new revenue for our hotels in New Jersey. That was actually covered in the New York Times, quoted in the EDA, which was pretty cool. And the other thing is that we're going to be able to take a really deep dive into the revenue that the World Cup in partnership and Treasury with Treasury will generate for us. As we know, again, with the budget, Governor Sherrill has made fiscal discipline a key part of her budget and economic development strategy. We've been reviewing all our programs to ensure they result in the greatest economic impact for our state. We have found through listening sessions, conversation with stakeholders, and our own data analysis that the Aspire program can be a difficult and expensive to use. Indeed, it can also be an expensive one, with as much as half of Aspire credit awards paying for transaction costs. In large part because of this inefficiency, demand for the program far exceeds available resources. We've decided by the week's end to temporarily pause applications for the Aspire program so that it can protect current applications, protect funding for viable projects, and establish a new transparent and competitive framework and scored framework as we go forward. During the temporary pause, which we will have end in the fall, we'll review all options on how to strengthen the program. Non-transformative projects that have a completed application will be able to move forward through the review and approval process. Transformative projects that have applied and are requesting more than $190 million of the remaining allocation will have their application discontinued and their application fee refunded. Projects will be able to reapply when the program reopens in the fall under the new framework. Since the program was launched, it's done incredible things. has supported more than 40 projects, helping create more than 7,500 new house users across the state. It supported major projects like film studios, again, Netflix right down the road, healthcare center, also right down the road, driving economic growth and job creation. I'm proud of what the Aspire program has accomplished, and I'm committed to working with industry leaders and government partners to update the program with clearer standards, strong emphasis on fiscal discipline and project readiness, and most importantly, alignment with Governor Sherrill's economic development and budget priorities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Evan. Moving forward, our next item is to approve the previous month's minutes. Before you are the minutes from the June 10th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. I would request a motion to approve the June 10th board meeting minutes and then a second. Thank you, second.
Second.
For the record, state drawing, Kevin Jarvis. Second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Second, before you are the executive session minutes from the June 10th NJEDA board meeting for review and approval. Can I request a motion to approve?
Bowman motion.
Thank you. Second. Thank you, Robert. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next, we're going to go to the public comment section of the meeting. I will now open the public comment portion of the meeting. First, I'm going to ask Daniel Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending in person should approach the podium to provide comment. Those attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue by their comment. I'll now share the NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available online. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization, affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure enough time is available. All those who wish to speak, related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comments.
Thank you, Danielle. I will now acknowledge any members of the public who wish to provide comment. First, in person, is there anyone in the room who wishes to address the board? Okay, seeing none, let's move to online. Teams, Danielle, is there anyone on Teams with their hands raised?
Yes, Wiggleman has his hand raised. Apologize if I mispronounced your name.
No, you got it. Thank you very much. Thank you, members of the board. My name is Asaf Wiggleman. Really appreciate all the work NJEDA has been doing. My comment is just around the New Jersey retrofit program. My understanding is that the program exhausted all of its allocation in the first round. I strongly implore the board to re-up the funding for New Jersey retrofit. There are a number of very viable projects, myself included, with commercial building stock in New Jersey aging, and all of the things that the governor and the board wants to accomplish. It behooves everybody on the board to try to get as much additional funding for this program as possible. So please take that under advisement, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Asaf. We will note your comment. Anyone else on Teams?
Andrew Hornback.
Yes, good morning. My name is Andrew Hornback. I'm the founder and CEO of Hornback Strategic Services. My question that I'm going to ask is something very similar to something I asked a number of months ago, related to the Office of Strategic Defense Investment. It's something that was announced in September of last year. I came to one of the meetings a number of months ago, asked the question. There was a follow-up and further conversation. However, I don't see, you know, action being taken place to move OSDI forward. And my concern is this something that is going to be moved forward now that we're 6 months into the new governor's administration? So that's my question for the board. Thank you.
It remains a priority that we want to see happen. As you heard in the remarks, there are a number of things going on, particularly budget, particularly World Cup. Those are now behind us. And again, I want to emphasize that there's no plans not to move forward on this, how we move forward on it, exactly when. That's what's under discussion. And I thank you again for commenting on this. And again, our goal would be to move on this, you know, with priority in the coming months.
Any other comments? All right, thanks, Danielle. Operator, anyone on the phone?
We have this happen the board, last board meeting or one before we go.
Just give it a moment.
Yeah, we're just gonna we'll give it a moment to see if Verizon can rejoin.
Are you able to hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. For members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star zero, then star one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question anytime by pressing star, then two. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one at this time. One moment, please, for our first question. I currently show no questions.
All right, thank you, operator. I will now consider the public comment section of the meeting closed. We'll move forward on the voting items. Josh, do you want to give a incentives report before we begin?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. The NBA incentives committee met on July 8th and discussed multiple tax credit award recommendations, both of which are being presented for action today, including applications under the Aspire program, the Next New Jersey Manufacturing program, and two applications under the Cultural Arts Facilities Expansion Hub and CAFE. Our staff will present these items as part of today's agenda.
All right, thank you, Josh. First voting item is under Aspire, Deirdre Malloy on the Randolph Senior Project.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We are seeking board approval to award $14,503,922,000 in Aspire tax credits for 100% new construction, affordable housing, senior residential development in Haynesport, New Jersey at 810 Warren Avenue. The applicant, Randolph Senior LIHTC LLC, is proposing new construction of a three-story building for seniors age 65 and older named Randolph Estates, encompassing 70 rental units, 63 one-bedroom units, 7 two-bedroom units, with 6 of the units will be set aside for those who are approved through the New Jersey Division of Developmental Disabilities. The applicant, Randolph Senior, LIHTC, LLC, is wholly owned by the lead development entity, MRK Partners, Inc., as is the case with most LIHTC finance transactions. An investor member will enter the partnership at financial closing with a 99.99% limited partner with Randolph Senior MM LLC, reverting to a 0.01% general partner and the managing role member. The applicant has an exclusive option to lease the property site from its owner, MBID of Delaware LLC, and will definitely be compliant with the program rules for site control. As mentioned, the LDE is MRK Partners, founded by Sydney Garchek in 2015, which specializes in the acquisition and rehabilitation of multifamily residential properties across the United States, but does not have prior EDA assistance. However, on May 1st, 2026, MRK acquired both Ingerman Development Company and Ingerman Management Company through an asset purchase agreement that included the transition of key staff with more than 30 years industry experience. The Ingerman companies have previously developed and managed real estate assets in New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. All applicant entities have cleared legal review and sister agency checks and will meet green building standards. The co-applicant, IMGN Communities, Inc., formerly named Premier Housing Services, a Delaware-based 501c3 nonprofit, authorized to do business as a foreign entity in New Jersey, will be providing services to the residents and will be the recipient of the Aspire tax credit, according to the program rules. Next slide, please. The total development cost is $31,584,260. As usual, to help cite the award, we exclude costs prohibited by statutes and program rules, and which means the eligible project cost ended up being $28,042,162. The required developer equity contribution of 20% is equivalent to just over $6 million. And in this case, the developer is meeting that and exceeding it at $11,146,261 in equity. The applicant's funding request was equivalent and evaluated against the program's various award caps. And because the project is in an eligible incentive area, it does qualify for the 60% or $9 million, which comes to approximately 57% of eligible costs and is $14,503,922. And based on those factors, this is why we are recommending an award of $14,503,922. If approved, the construction for this project will begin in August of 2026. Happy to take any questions if there are any.
Any questions or comments in the room? Any questions or comments from board members on the phone? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Motion, Mayor Butter.
Thank you, Aaron. Second?
Motion.
Thank you, Josh. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, it is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Gene, on the next NJ manufacturing program, E1 Medicines.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, members of the authority. Thank you for your time today. My name is Gene Palermo. I am the Senior Product Officer of the Manufacturing Incentives and Tax Credits team. Today, I'm here to present an application from B1 Medicines U.S. Manufacturing Co. for consideration under the Next New Jersey Manufacturing Program. Next slide, please. So B1 Medicines AG is a global oncology company, and our applicant is a U.S. manufacturing arm and proposes to construct an 144,000-square-foot facility on its existing Pennington campus. This new building will support the complete end-to-end manufacturing and packaging of small molecule drug products, fully separate from B1's current operations. Slide. B1 proposes to create, under the program, 120 new full-time manufacturing and labor jobs, all located at the qualified business facility. Just to make note that the program requires 20, so they are exceeding this requirement. The total eligible capital investment of the project is anticipated to be $281.1 million, exceeding the $10 million requirement for CapEx expenditure. Regarding the new collaborative relationship requirement, B1 has executed a letter of intent with Raritan Valley Community College, meeting that requirement as well. So to conclude, staff recommends that the authority approve the proposed tax credit award of $6,795,984 for the first 5 years of a 10-year commitment period, and the totaling award of $33,979,920. Thank you for your consideration today, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Somebody else, could you remind, have we made an award under NextNJ already?
Sorry. Yes.
Sorry, I'm in, okay. And then it just strikes me that relative to the capital investment, this is a small award amount.
Well, the job is a little bit different. So, the factor is capital investment, job requirement, and then the award, which is 0.1%. So being that the other award had higher level of jobs, you have a higher level percentage off the capital.
Okay, that explains the difference.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions from people in the room?
I have a comment. I mean, thank you for going for the presentation. I just, thank you for the brevity, but I don't want that to minimize the importance of this. I mean, it's the second Next New Jersey Manufacturing Award. I think it cuts both ways, and some, it's nice to see as well that by putting in what I calculated quickly is 12% or so of the capital, we're getting this level of investment. That's a good leverage. We've had some bad news in terms of manufacturing facilities deciding to go elsewhere. This is the beginning of good news. Just having this level of investment from a great company in New Jersey, expanding the existing Pennington site, it's great to see. And seeing how relatively quickly we were able to get a program launched and then continue to have things move with it is great. So thank you for your work on this. Thank you. The team's work on this very exciting application to move through the authority.
I agree. It's quite exciting. Any other comments, questions in the room? Comments or questions on the phone? So hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Okay, Tim, you want a second? All right, Robert, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none is approved. Again, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Next, Elizabeth, on two CAFE awards.
Thank you, Chairman. Our first CAFE award is the Westfield Art Collective, Inc. We commonly refer to this as Westfield Rialto. The actual project name is Center for Creativity at the Rialto. This is located at 250 Broad Street, Westfield in Union County. This project is an adaptive reuse of the historic Rialto former movie theater in downtown Westfield. They're going to really convert this almost 100-year-old 1920s shuttered movie theater into a performing arts center and community cultural hub. This is going to include a 450-person capacity flexible venue. It's going to have galleries, four multi-purpose classrooms, a cafe, and a geothermal heating and cooling system. They're aiming to generate some year-round economic activity. It's a almost 28,000 square foot project, got renovation, just over 3,000 square feet of new construction in the basement. They're going to be digging that out, adding some more headroom as well as areas for public restrooms, utilities, and storage. Construction timeline is to start first quarter of 2027, so about 6 to 7 months after approval, with the duration being 17 to 22 months. Total project costs are $50.9 million, with eligible project costs being $43.38 million, and that is after applying the 20% soft cost cap, so there was a minor reduction due to that. We're recommending an award of $43.38 million. The funding structure includes $40.7 senior loan from M&T Bank, $7.08 million in fundraising, and $3.1 million in applicant contributed property equity. And so that equity requirement of 20% is met through the combination of the fundraising and property value. On this one, a little bit more interesting, Credits are actually going to be sold at dollar for dollar to service the debt. And we did vet that and speak with them and understand that the bank is actually going to be using that themselves. Mm-hmm. Another interesting point on this is that geothermal well field is going to be installed in the adjacent municipal parking lot, and the mayor has provided a letter of support for that. Will require a formal agreement with town council within 1 year of board approval. And just another interesting note, they have received prior EDA assistance with a small business improvement grant, which is now closed, and they were compliant on that. As far as due diligence, in addition to staff review, we had a third party review the cost reasonableness, which found the budget reasonable, with some line item adjustments, which the applicant addressed. And the other third party reviewed the financials, confirmed the financing gap exists, and that the CAFE award does not over-enrich. So in conclusion, we are recommending the award of $43,381,250. Happy to take any questions.
The thing I always like to talk about in these projects is the fundraising, right? So they've got a $7 million fundraising commitment to provide equity.
On the dollar for dollar, is that a special request that the applicant has to make?
It is not a special request. They can't sell the tax credits for anything less than 85 cents on the dollar per the statute. Usually we see something more in like the 90 cent range. So it's just a little unusual to actually see dollar for dollar on this one. But because of that, we dug in a little deeper. Our underwriting division took a look at that and did confirm that the bank that's going to purchase them is going to be using them themselves. And the bank is also involved in other aspects.
Are you providing a senior loan?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's a good thing that they're doing it, but it's good to have some scrutiny because it's a little bit of a related party transaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I
Yes, questions? I have a...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you're asking comments on this, not public comment, correct? Sorry.
Yeah, public comments are closed.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Any board member comments, questions on this? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Josh. Second?
Second, Jarvis.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Next on Paper Mill.
Okay, Paper Mill Playhouse. This is also a cafe application. The name of the project is the Front of House. And this is at 22 Brookside Drive in Milburn, Essex County. So this is comprehensive renovation and expansion of the theater's front of house being those sort of public areas of the building. This is a little over 26,000 square feet of renovations. This is also going to expand the existing theater by about 3,000 square feet to the existing theater building. It features a new two-story lobby, a lot of ADA compliant features, upgraded building systems, and really it's about enhanced accessibility to eliminate long-standing circulation and infrastructure deficiencies. Their construction timeline is actually, they've already commenced construction earlier this month, July 1st. They are allowed under CAFE to start construction after they submit an application. Our prevailing wage folks have, or labor compliance staff, have spoken with them, they've met with them, and have cleared them to, you know, say that they are good to go to board. They are compliant thus far. They've met with the applicant and the contractor, which is Phelps, and reinforced those prevailing wage requirements. The duration of the work is 12 to 16 months. There's a soft opening targeted for third quarter 2027 with full programming by the following quarter, fourth quarter 2027. A little bit about the numbers here. Total project cost, $29.85 million. Eligible project cost, $24.8 million. And the recommended award is the $24.8 million, 100% of those eligible costs. This has a pretty simple funding structure, 11.65 bridge loan from Enhanced Capital, and then a little over $18 million in fundraising through a capital campaign. I just want to be clear, they actually have sort of a larger capital campaign that involves five different project components, with this piece, the front of house, being one component. Their equity requirement of 20% is met through that capital campaign fundraising. On this one, the credits will be sold at 89 cents on the dollar to repay that bridge loan. As far as due diligence, in addition to staff review, we had a third party review the cost reasonableness and found the budget responsibly assembled and generally reasonable, and the hard costs within the benchmark range. The financials confirmed that it is a project that would not have been financially feasible without the CAFE support, and that the award does not over enrich the project. So in conclusion, we recommend that award of $24,801,207.
How much of the $18 million capital campaign have they raised already?
They've raised $18.01 million.
So on. It's great. Good. Okay, any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Josh. Second. Thanks, Jewel. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved.
Thank you.
Next, Jewel, you want to give a ELRC report, committee report?
This loan review committee met on July 8th to review and consider one action, standalone bond. Staff will provide a presentation as a part of today's agenda.
Thank you. Stephen, on NC and Sons bond.
Morning. This is a final bond approval request for NC and Sons Incorporated and 17 Income Holdings LLC. Established in 1997, NC & Sons Incorporated operates as a contractor specializing in carpentry, millwork, site work, concrete, and masonry. 17 Income Holdings LLC, established in 2026, is a real estate holding entity rated by NC & Sons to purchase the commercial real estate located at 17 Income Drive in Branchburg, New Jersey. The bond's proceeds will be used to acquire an existing building, which will be used as a dedicated millwork manufacturing facility. Also, the bond is $9,375,000. This will be a direct purchase with Wells Fargo as the purchaser. The bond will have a 25-year term with interest equal to 7.9% of the secured overnight financing rate average plus 1.57%. And the indicated rate as of July 9th is 4.46%. We have received the bank's credit approval. The approval has been reviewed and results are satisfactory. Total project costs are $13.2 million. The applicant will be putting in $3.8 million, or 41%, as equity into the project, and the project will create 30 new full-time jobs. Happy to answer any questions.
Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Jewel. Second. Thanks, Tim. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Next, on the policy committee. The policy committee met on July 9th and reviewed several recommendations that are being considered for action today, including the sale of food desert relief tax credits, amendments to a strategic innovation center investment, approval of a
qualified investment under the New Jersey Innovation Evergreen Program and modifications to retrofit NJ. And staff will present on each of these items today. So first up, Tara on food security.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. And thank you, Chairman, particularly for your opening remarks, which cut off a big chunk of what I was going to talk about in a wonderful way. So thank you for reinforcing Governor Carroll's commitment to security and human food security as central to economic development. Just as a quick refresher, especially for newer board members, under the Economic Recovery Act, the Desert Relief Act, which is a piece of the ERA, gives the EDA the authority to both issue tax credits for the development and operations of the supermarkets and food deserts, as well as to auction or sell tax credits. To date, we have not issued any tax credits for supermarket development, but we have sold 60 million of the 240 million that we have available over the past 3 years, including last year, which was our most successful auction ever. Last year, we received $36 million in bids for $25 million credits that we made available, generating $22 million in flexible cash to just deploy for initiatives supporting food security and combating food deserts. We've also been pleased over the past 3 years, our average purchase price has risen steadily from 87 to 89 to last year, 91 cents in the dollar. We recognize that future auctions may and likely will look different as we work with the governor's office and sister agencies to coordinate the Sherrill administration's broader approach to tax credit. I'm certainly eager to continue our partnership with the Evergreen team, Kathleen and really Alexander in particular, who has been just a wonderful partner throughout, as well as our colleagues at HMFA who have recently launched their inaugural tax credit auction. The request today is approval to auction up to $50 million this year, as well as the delegated authority to consider incorporating an approval fee of up to 2.5% that will be taken out of proceeds from winning bidders, and to consider whether to revise the sister agency checks to the extent allowed by statute to align with other state entities doing auction processes. I wanted to emphasize that the funds generated through the auctions can be used for a broad range of uses. To support food security and combat food deserts. The chairman mentioned the first $30 million was earmarked for our 73 Feed NJ grantees, and we would return to the board for new products and programs to deploy future proceeds. Just in closing, would emphasize that this support is really needed more than ever. Think about the impact of HR 1, also called the One Big Beautiful Bill, particularly impact on New Jersey residents who receive SNAP or food stamps. From just January to April of this year, more than 13,000 New Jersey households lost their SNAP benefits. That represents 28,000 people. About half of those are children, 14,000. And there's been, in just those 4 months alone, a 5% decrease in children and a 4% decrease in New Jersey adults receiving SNAP. Some counties, the decrease for children has been as high as 10%. Those are these numbers. They're powerful numbers, but they're just numbers. Over the past few days, along with our colleagues Ty Blitzstein and Brian Todd on the food security team, I've had the privilege to visit actually three of our Feed NJ grantees, and seeing the need on the ground is staggering. In Trenton and Patterson and Newark, the stories, the communities are different, but the stories are the same about the sort of emergency feeding system facing unprecedented demand and the need for greater investment. So we're really proud of the work we've done through Feed NJ, but also look to broaden our approach in the future about how EDA can play a role in addressing this tidal wave that's coming. I'll just say the message I shared at those events, share here, that I think as wonderful as the World Cup and the, you know, the New Jersey and New York Stadium, I'll say it correctly, how that put us on the map and showed, you know, what New Jersey can do. I think actually whether it was, you know, visiting a food pantry at the Trenton Housing Authority or going to a community food distribution site in Patterson, that's what New Jersey means when it shows up to support its communities, and we're really proud to play a part of it on behalf of Governor Shaw. So happy to answer any questions. Thank you for having me.
And Tara, you mentioned $240 million remaining. What's the duration of that? Is there a time limit?
So I think those have been shifted. Right now we have until 2028. So we have 180 million of the 240 million remaining. So
and this would be 50 of that. 50, so you'd have 130 for another 2 years.
Okay. Those, again, there's a broader discussion around tax credits. or, you know, any comments on the letter.
Okay, so this is again just the what we're voting on today is the approval option up to $50 million of the remaining $240 million with the delegated authority as noted. Any comments or questions? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Josh. Second. Thanks, Jewel. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Good luck. Next on Strategic Innovation Centers, Tim with an amendment.
Good morning, everyone. Appreciate the chance to be with you to present an amendment to Bell Labs Venture Studio Strategic Innovation Center. Podium, sorry about that. Appreciate the chance to offer the recommendation for an amendment to the Bell Labs Venture Studio Strategic Innovation Center that was approved by this body in 2025 for a commitment of up to $10 to $15 million cash one-to-one by our partners at Nokia to create 10 to 12 new businesses out of intellectual property identified at Nokia or other sources. Here we are a year later. That studio is going well. They've operationalized, they've hired a team, they've identified high prospective companies for investment or ideas for investment into companies. Meanwhile, Nokia, who has seen a change in leadership, has indicated a direction and strategic orientation. Coincident with that, we'll be spinning out the Bell Labs Venture Studio from Nokia, so they will exist as a dedicated team as opposed to a unit extension from Nokia. We will also look to match our partners one-to-one with a reduction of dollars from $15 million apiece to $9 million apiece. Meanwhile, the team is committed to identifying additional co-investment partners that can come in with us to increase capital efficiency on our part. Ultimately creating 18 companies, so doubling the number of businesses. So all in total, a net positive to create more businesses in the state of New Jersey, giving us more shots on goal for diversified portfolio. With that, short and sweet, I'll wrap it up with our request for approval of the amendment to the Bell Labs Venture Studio LLC, as well as delegation to the CEO of Exploit all the documentation. So thank you. Any questions?
And Tim, this is the studio in New Brunswick?
It will be located in New Brunswick once the building is completed in a couple of years.
And this is the investing element of the SIC?
It is the investing element as long as well as the operational expenditure board. So it's a two piece of it.
Any questions or comments?
To create New Jersey companies, actually, yeah.
Anyone on the phone, questions or comments for Tim? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the amendment as recommended?
Motion, Aaron Binder.
Thank you, Aaron. Second?
Second, Jones.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the amendment is approved. Thank you. Next, Kremenot on a innovation, qualified investment under the NJ Innovation Evergreen Fund.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I will start today's presentation with a quick update on the composition of the Evergreen Fund since we last presented to the board in February. The portfolio snapshot in front of you represents all approved Evergreen investments to date. Since our last update in February, the team has approved under delegated authority for three follow-on investments in existing portfolio companies. Additionally, we have also invested in three new portfolio companies. Those are depicted under the green dotted line there. So the total invested capital today is slightly over $32 million. If today's investment recommendation is approved, the unallocated capital available for future investments in the Evergreen Fund will be a little over $55 million.
Just to remind everybody, the source of this funding is sales tax grants.
Correct. Will not be doing the tax credit this year, though. The investment recommendation today is an application by a new venture firm partner called Sim Ventures for co-investment of up to $5 million into the Series A3 preferred stock financing round of Cranium AI, alongside Sim's own investment of $10 million. If approved, it will be our largest investment to date and the largest portfolio position as well. Sim Ventures is an impressive firm that specializes in cybersecurity investments and is led by experienced operators in that sector with impressive track records from their previous investments. They manage close to $900 million in assets across a couple of funds and are planning to raise a new fund later in 2026. Our target company is Cranium AI. It was founded in 2023 as a spin-out from KPMG's startup incubator. It's a fast-growing AI-native security company that helps enterprises see, secure, and govern the AI they build and use. The platform Cranium has built discovers the AI models and applications in use across an organization, tests them for vulnerabilities, documents them for audit and compliance, and maps controls to emerging regulation. The company closed their financial year 2026 with $6.2 million in annual recurring revenues and boasts a strong customer roster across the telecom, technology, life sciences, and financial services sectors. They have some impressive logos among their customers, including AT&T, JP Morgan Chase, KPMG, and others. So thank you for your considerations today. I'm happy to answer the questions.
Any questions or comments? I think the prior slide where we, you know, when we look at these sort of reviewing the investments we made is really helpful, and maybe at some point be interesting for the board to hear kind of an update on progress, you know, what's happened in the portfolio. I know there have been some positive follow-on rounds and other things, and, you know, venture, it's good to have a big portfolio because good and bad things happen in the portfolio, but it's really remarkable to see the breadth of our investments to date. Sorry, go ahead, I interrupted.
I was going to say, like, it's never a good idea to try to time the market, but it's hard to think of something more timely where yesterday people might have read that OpenAI had a model that escaped and hacked on its own, which is terrifying, but then we have other companies like this that hopefully, I know sort of what they do is to help monitor those kind of risks, what agentic AI is doing for a different company. So again, it feels extremely timely to be investing in this today.
Yeah, they monitor everything that's developed in-house, each company as well as started people using their own everything that's available within the system. So,
any comments or questions in the room? Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve? Thanks, Josh. Second?
Jasmine.
Thanks, Jewel. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any recusals, opposition, or abstention? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. And again, there is delegated authority on these, but this is above the threshold, correct?
Yeah.
Is it up to
$1.5 million.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Clean Energy, Andy Garcia.
My name is Andy Garcia. I'm a product officer of the Clean Energy team, and I'm here to request modifications to the reducing emissions through retrofit optimization, fuel switching, and innovative technologies grant program, also known as Retrofit NJ. The program supports multi-pronged large-scale retrofit projects that enable holistic energy improvements at buildings, campuses, and multi-building facilities. It was approved at the October 25 board with $75 million from the 2023 through 25 REGI funds. It launched in January 25 and was fully subscribed by April of 2026. At last month's board meeting, we approved $79 million in grants across 10 projects. That included $75 million from the initial pool plus $4 million in delegated authority. Given the high demand of the program and lessons learned, we are requesting the following modifications. First, with funding set aside in delegated authority, we're requesting that the delegated authority be increased from $75 million to $150 million for a total funding pool of $225 million. And we're also clarifying that the set aside shall apply for all future, for this tranche and all future tranches, so that 50% of funding is set aside for projects in overburdened communities or institutional applicants. Secondly, the applicant eligibility. Currently, the program is open to institutional, industrial, and commercial entities. We are requesting that that remain the same for thermal energy networks. However, for the all other pathways, we're requesting that the program only be eligible for institutional and nonprofit organizations or industrial uses. We're also eliminating state entities and bi-state entities as eligible applicants unless their purpose is for education or healthcare facilities. And lastly, on the project scope, currently there's five scopes where three of those must be fulfilled in order to be eligible. Those scopes include on-site energy generation, on-site energy storage, refrigerant replacement, fuel switching, and general energy efficiency. In order to comply with Executive Orders 1 and 2, we are requesting that either energy on-site renewable energy generation or on-site energy storage be one of the three required scopes. With this, we're requesting that these modifications be made to the program, and I'm hoping, happy to take any questions.
Again, so we understand, we approved $75 million.
The initial tranche was $75 million, with $75 million delegated authority. We're looking to use that next up tranche of the delegated authority and request an additional $75 million.
I got it. So that's the up to 150. And correct. Then those projects would come back to the board for approval, correct?
Correct, yes.
Any comments or questions?
See how responsive we are to the public. 30 minutes or so between a comment and now we have the program. So, very cool.
Anyone on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Clarify, when you say anyone on the phone, you meaning any board, on the phone, not members of the public, yeah. Because the public comment period has just expired.
Maybe.
Because somebody has raised their hand, and I just want to make sure that the public knows that you're addressing board members only.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Any board members on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
I'm going to consider that a second, Elizabeth. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? In hearing none, it is passed. That's very amazing. Next, on technology innovation, the NJ Entrepreneur Support Program.
I'm Abdi Selman, product analyst with the Technology Innovation Team. This memo is to close the New Jersey Entrepreneur Support Program, more commonly known as ESP. It was launched in April 2023. ESP had a $5 million budget. The program provided an 80% guarantee on private investor convertible notes or bridge loans, and was designed to encourage private investment into New Jersey startups. We received a total of 33 applications during the program. 18 applications were approved, 14 were withdrawn, and one is in process. We had no declinations. The bulk of the applications were received in the first year and a half of the program, and these were only for a few loans and a limited number of companies. In 2025, we received two applications. This year, we received only one application. In total, 1.46 million guarantees were approved during the program, which was 29% of allocated funds. 14 guarantees were expired, with $636,000 returning to the program budget. Two guarantees were paid off for a total of $48,000. Two guarantees for a total of $780,000 are still active and will be managed up. One of the two received a request payment during this last weekend and is currently under review. $4.092 million will be returned if pending guarantees are claimed. This can increase as much as $4.572 million if not claimed. The main reasons to sunset the program as follows. The program terms no longer align with typical note loan structure, but the loan and note investment structure is no longer popular in the market. It has been replaced by safe, simple agreements for future equity. And the original market needs for the program no longer exists. Financial stress for startups
stemming from the COVID pandemic and technology industry banking crisis has largely dissipated. For these reasons, the program now has extremely low demand. ESP no longer fits today's startup financing environment. Staff has determined that no program modifications would increase market relevance. We recommend closing the New Jersey Entrepreneur Support Program. I'm happy to address any questions.
$4 million and go back into the new program?
Yes. Economic Recovery Fund.
Essentially, never been separated.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unallocated. It will be returned. The allocation will be eliminated. Any comments or questions? Seems like a wise thing to do. Any board members on the phone, comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, can I hear a motion to approve the recommendation to sunset the program? Thanks, Tim. Second? Thanks, Josh. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, it is approved. Thank you. Evan, board memorandum.
Yeah, so there are six delegated authority memos this month pertaining to economic transformation and credit underwriting. First is community development delegated authority, the second quarter of 2026. The second is the credit and finance projects approved under delegated authority of June 2026. The hazardous discharge site remediation fund, HDSRF, applications approved under delegated authority the first quarter of 2026. The petroleum underground storage tank applications, EUST, approved under delegated authority of the first quarter of 2026. Real estate division delegated authority for leases and right of entry, RME licenses for January 2026 and February of 2026. A memorandum of understanding approved under delegated authority between June of 2025 and June of 2026. What does this mean? So under the community development delegated reporting, under the small business improvement grant, 100 applications were approved for a total of $3.5 million. Under the small business lease grant, 71 applications were approved for a total of $1.7 million. Again, that's the second quarter of this year. Under the Hazardous Discharge Site Remediation Fund program, 20 applications were approved for $7.3 million. And under the Petroleum Underground Storage Tank program, 39 applications were approved for $1.9 million. Lastly, regarding MOUs approved under delegated authority for last one-year period, again, June 25 through June 26, 36 MOUs were executed under delegated authority. This is a snapshot of the work done behind the scenes by our staff as delegated by our board.
Thank you. Lots of work going on. Any further comments, questions? Anyone on the board? Any board members on the phone? Okay, if not, I would like to thank everyone for their participation. We'll now request a motion to adjourn the meeting. Can I hear a motion to adjourn, please? Robert, I'm going to consider that a motion, and Josh, a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Right, hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon conferencing service. You may now disconnect.